Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench. Outdoor America is brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Now, here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
Beautiful, beautiful day in the Ozarks, folks. It is almost, it is 80 degrees out this week. It's been crazy warm with the warming trend coming in. Then we're gonna have a small cold front moving, so it's going to cool back off. You know, that's just the Ozark weather. If you don't, you know, they always say if you don't like the weather around here, just wait an hour or wait a day or wait just a couple hours, anything. Just it don't take long. It'll change like that. So that's what we're dealing with right now. Allergies. If you have allergies, you're probably feeling it, including myself. I've got allergies. And if you listened to the show last week, I've been pretty bad under the weather, and I'm still getting over it. Come to the determination that I had COVID is what we're thinking. I got hit pretty hard, but doing better now. Corbell is just now starting to get over it, or she went through it too, but her and Kayla both had the antibodies. If you know anything about the antibodies, it kind of helps your immune system as far as against COVID, but that's great. But nonetheless, you know, what do I do day in and day out? Get out in the outdoors, right? That's what we're all about, and that's what I do. I love being outside, and that's about what we're all about ready to do. I've got the day off, so Kayla, myself, and Corbell are going to go out and hit the river. We're going to go out there and see if we can't load the boat with some crappie, so stay tuned. That's the goal today. We're going to go try to catch a bunch of crappie. I had some clients this week that their main focus, I'd taken him last summer. And as I do with all my clients, I ask them, you know, quality or quantity. And some of them are like, you know, I don't care, a little bit of both, or I just want to catch fish. You know, it's just that simple generic answer sometimes. But all in all, this guy said, you know, I want quality. So, okay, well, if you want quality, this is what I'm going to recommend. You're not going to catch a lot of fish, but whenever you do catch one, it's going to be a good one. And he said, I'm fine with that. And I said, okay, well, this young gentleman, I said young gentleman, he's got grandkids. His grandson was with him, by the way. But he's a good old boy. He ended up hooking a 19 and a half, I think, 19 plus, about 11:45, a.m. and then about 12:15 he hooked a 20 plus inch true blue Ozark dinosaur. It was a pretty cool deal. Not too many people have I ever taken. I think he's the only person I've ever taken that's caught two fish of that caliber that quickly, within 30 minutes apart. And then, of course, the rest of the day, he only caught four or five fish the rest of the day. But that's what he set out to do. It worked out to perfection. He caught some giants. It was an amazing trip. Fast forward to this week, he called me. He said, "Hey, I'm taking my brother. I've been seeing you catch some crappie." He said, "We're wanting to come catch some smallmouth, of course, but is there any way you could put us on a few crappie I could take on my wife?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, absolutely." You know, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I enjoy doing that. And it's just another little element of my fishing game that I love, being a multi-species angler. So, you know, it kind of helps. It helps broaden the fishing there, because a lot of folks are like, "Oh, I'd like to take some fish home," but never have I ever, and never will I ever, allow someone to keep and harvest a smallmouth out of my boat. That's just something I will not allow to do. I'm not gonna bend or fold on that topic. But so I took him, and we had a great time. We got out there to one of my very best spots right off this point, and I said, this spot should produce. You know, on any given day, I can catch fish on this point." And he said, typical fashion, "Well, today's any given day, so let's see." I said, "Okay." And second cast, his brother catches a 17-incher. So, great start. Then he catches another one. Then his brother catches one. And then they catch another one. They went on to catch like six or seven fish right there in that one spot. And I'm like, "This is great. You know, this is working perfect." And so I said, "Okay, you know, now we've caught some nice smallmouth." Nothing was under 14 inches. They were all quality fish. Nothing was over 18 and a half, but they did catch an 18 or two throughout the day. And then, you know, nothing under 14 and nothing over 18 and a half. So there were several, just a lot of quality. It was just 17, 16, 16 and a quarter, 15 and a half, 15 and a half, 16, 16 and three, you know, just kind of sporadic throughout that range. But so we're just fishing along, having a good old time, you know, and we catch some nice crappie. I think they ended up with eight crappie, and two of them being good ones, being dandies. I mean, in that 14 inch range, I mean, really, really big crappie. Almost regretted taking them, but nonetheless, it was their trip. They paid for it, and they're wanting to take a little bit of crappie home, and I was glad to be able to do that for them. And I'm glad to be able to do that for you too. If you're wanting to do the same, I'd love to be able to take you and put you on a few, you know, a few eater fish, some crappie or some goggle eye or some white bass, or, you know what, spotted bass. Shoot, I don't care. This not smallmouth, not largemouth, but the spotted bass, I've determined that as of just a few weeks ago, I told my wife, I said, "You know, these spotted bass are getting out of control. They really are. And as long as I can legally keep them, I'm going to start taking them out." And so I just started taking some out, putting them in the pond here a couple weeks ago. And I had been letting them all go. So it's been... There's a lot of them out there. There's just too many of them, and never used to be this way. So I encourage you to do the same. If you see some spotted bass and you want something to eat, take some spotted bass. Don't eat the smallmouth. These smallmouth are native to our waters, and they've been there. You know, this is kind of their home and their element and their atmosphere. So, and these spotted bass are moving up from all these bigger rivers, moving up into these smaller streams and literally taking over. But, you know, it was a great day. Like I said, we fished with all spinning gear, or they did. I never even made a cast, but they're spinning guys, and you know, I couldn't throw bait casters, or never took the time to learn to do it. So they were all spinning gear, and kind of had a little mishap. I'm so used to everyone bringing their own gear. I didn't have enough spinner rods to accommodate, so I had to run back home, grab some spinner rods, and a couple of them already had some old Ned rigs tied on. And, you know, everyone knows the old Ned rig, right? Well, I don't particularly throw the Ned rigs myself, but clients do, and they work. You know, they're just fish catchers. So if you want to just catch some fish. A Ned rig's a great way to do it. And that's what they caught them all on. I had them throwing Ned rigs and some crankbaits, and they caught a few on crankbaits, but all in all, it was the Ned rig that was the star of the day as far as catching the fish. They even caught some crappie on the Ned rigs, believe it or not. And then of course I had them put on some grubs and just normal crappie fishing baits that you can throw, and that's how they ended up catching the remainder of what they had. But great day. Great group of guys. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to go hang out with them and spend the day catching the fish and seeing their happy faces as they got to take all these crappie home to their wives. And on the way out, you know, of course, I had ran up river quite a ways. And on the way out, I see a boat. Or no, I hear a boat. And I'm like, what in the world? I never see anyone out here, especially in the middle of the week, you know. And it's another boat, and I recognize the gentleman driving the boat, and I wave, he waves, we both wave at each other. He keeps going upriver, and I keep going downriver. Well, as we're headed down, I get down to the put in or takeout, whichever you want to call it, both, and my truck is of course there, and then his truck is there, and he left it sitting in the back of the water. The trailer's backed up in the water. The way I took it was he didn't plan on being gone long, because that's the reason why he left his trailer sitting in the water, because I don't know any other reason why you leave your trailer sitting in the water for an extended amount of time, you know what I mean, because the bearings and whatnot wash all the grease out. You probably don't want to do that. So I thought, well, he's probably just going to go run some lines and set some lines for the night and maybe go check them in the morning. Or whatever, you know. So fast forward, we get back and we get out, and I get the boat all tidied up and strapped everything down and getting the fish out, and we're cleaning the fish, and there's another couple that walks down fishing off the bank, and they're like, man, those are some nice fish, and yeah, some pretty good ones, and where'd you catch them at? You know, we told them just upriver a little ways, you know, a few miles, and I just told him around the corner. Actually, I said just right up past the bridge around the corner. Anyway, he got to talking, and it was just kind of left at that. You know, we got done with everything, we parted our ways, had a good conversation with that gentleman, and gave him some advice on something to try on a brush pile right there by the bank, and then we left. Well, that vehicle, that truck, similar to mine, was still left parked, you know, in with the trailer in the water. Like, oh, I thought, well, he'll be right back, you know. Here it is, about 20 minutes left to dark. Fast forward, you know, I come home, get everything tidied up for the night, go on about my business, eating supper and whatnot. Well, I know today I'm supposed to get out and meet my buddy Jared. And I talked to him last night, so we had already had plans on getting together and hanging out together and maybe frying up some food or on the bank or whatever. You know, we're going to do some fishing. He's in his boat. Kayla and I and Corbett are going to be in ours, but we're going to all be out there together, kind of just hanging out, you know, as we see each other. We both know where we're going to be. We're going to be in the same area. And so that's what brought up the conversation that I'm going to talk about next. It's pretty interesting conversation, pretty interesting story. And you'll have to stick around to see to hear the end of the story, because I'm going to tell you the beginning of it, and then you'll have to stick around to hear the end of it. We'll see what happens, folks. Stick around. You'll hear the story that I'm about to talk about next right here on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Outdoor America, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. More with Tommy Bench after this. Listening to Outdoor America. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
So here's the rest of the story. Last night, like I said, I seen a good old fella running up river. I know who he is. He knows who I am. I'm thinking, he's a big catfishman. He's probably just gonna go run some lines. Well, that's obviously what I'm thinking. That just makes sense. He's gonna go run some catfish lines right before dark, because that's exactly the best time to put him out. And he'll probably just set him some lines and come back and check him after work tomorrow, or whatever the case might be. Well, fast forward to this morning, after Jared and I had talked, about going out and fishing and hanging out and just kind of going enjoying this beautiful Ozark day that we got today. Jared calls me earlier or texts me. He says, hey, he said, are you early? And I said, no, I'm still at home. And he thought my truck was already pulled into the backed into the spot. Like, you know, like I'd already loaded the boat and I'm already headed upriver. I said, no, sir, that's not my truck. He said, I realize that now. It looks like it's not your truck. He said, there's another jet boat here. And I'm like, that's the same jet boat that was there last night. And I'm thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he be out there? I said, is it backed in the water? Like the trailer's still sitting inside the water? He said, yep, right in the middle. And I was like, that's exactly where it was at last night. So there's two different scenarios here. He could have baited his stuff, you know, set his lines, come back, loaded up, went home. Come back early this morning and just backed up on the exact same spot. Very possible. Very possible. He just backed up and, you know, very close to the exact same spot he was at last night. Left his trailer parked there or in the water again and ran upriver to check his lines. That's very possible. Or what about this scenario? Something happened where he never made it back. Because, folks, these rivers are treacherous. They can be, and I say treacherous, especially right at dark when you can't see that good. You know, there's a spot up there. I told Kayla, I said, if he got into some trouble, I know exactly where it happened. And she said, are you serious? I said, well, I don't know that it happened. I'm just speculating. But if it did, I know exactly where it would have happened because the river forks off in two different directions. And neither one are a good option right now. I mean, that's the reason why I hadn't been running up through there, because I didn't want to have clients with me. Neither would I want to run up there with Kayla and Corbell. So that's just kind of the ending point for me right there. And I thought, man, I hope he didn't try to run up there and gotten himself into some trouble being by himself. And maybe that's why his truck's still sitting in the exact same spot it was last night. So here we are, you know, thinking, what in the world's going on? You know, is he hurt? Did he wreck? Is he stranded? Did he just camp out for the night? Maybe he did come back and he's just back so early that it just looks like he never left. I don't know. We'll have to figure out the rest of the story and talk about it for sure, because we're heading out there. Jared's out there right now and I haven't heard a word from him yet. He told me, he said, if I come across him, if I see him, I'll let you know. But he said, I'm sure I'll run into him eventually. And I said, well, just let me know. You know, I know who it is, and I just want to make sure he's okay. You know, he's by himself. That's what concerns me more than anything, is he's by himself. So if he did get into some trouble, say he had a little fender bender, say he crashed, right? Say he wrecked, not the end of the world. Unless there's something, you know, maybe he got thrown out of the boat. Maybe he has a broken arm or leg or something, and he can't get back to the boat, or he can't operate the boat. He can't push the boat off the gravel to get back safely. I don't know. There's so many scenarios that's going through my mind right now. As a person in general, I care about people's well-being, and I'm thinking, man, I got to get out there and help this guy. You know, he may not be in any trouble at all, but the curiosity in my mind is telling me, you know, something could have happened. Something bad could have happened. He could have slipped and fell in. You know, he's by himself, trying to run some lines on the river. Could have knocked a hole in his boat, ended up sinking, and had to swim to shore. And he's just kind of stranded there on the bank somewhere, waiting for someone to come help him. Don't have a phone. There's so many scenarios that's going through my mind. I'm hoping we get up to him, and he's like, "Oh, I'm fine, guys. I just come back this morning, check my lines, or I just decided to camp out all night." You know, who knows? It could be a lot of great results, or, you know, great end to the story could be following. But I just hope it's not a bad end of the story. But stick around. You know, I'm gonna tell you. You know, hopefully I won't know on this episode, but you know, but next week I will definitely update you and let you know what happened with the mysterious jet boat that ran upriver and never returned. So you'll definitely have to stick around and listen to the end of that. In the meantime, let's talk about fishing a little bit. The fishing is changing a lot. You know, I think I talked about that last week. The temperatures are definitely changing. You know, we've had a really big warming trend. The water was, you know, in the 40s, and then it just kept slowly rising throughout the last couple weeks. We had this really big warming trend, and now it's shot up over 50 degrees. These fish, and if you've ever heard me talk about it, 50 degrees is kind of that magical number. So these fish are, they're out. They're getting, they're about ready to pack their bags and check on out. Let's see ya. We're pre-spawn mode. That's what they're going to do. They're going to head on up or down river wherever they spawn, and they're going to get ready to start feeding up for the spawn, looking for beds. These males are going to start thinking about heading to their spawning area. So if you know a good wintering hole and you know some good spawning areas, you might want to think about looking in between your wintering holes and those spawning areas, because that's definitely something that's gonna that's gonna be a player in the next couple of weeks. Although, like I said, we're about ready to have a little cold snap where it's gonna drop the water back down. And these fish can be like, "What the heck? Are we supposed to pre-spawn? Are we supposed to go back to wintering hole? What in the world's going on here?" So, if you've ever had, and this is a piece of advice I'm gonna give you, try to pay attention to everything you do. If you're really big in especially river fishing or any kind of fishing, remember what you did this time last year, because it may not have been the exact same temperature, the exact same scenario on the date from one year to the next. You know, March 1st may not be the exact same weather conditions that this year that we had March 1st last year, but it should be fairly close. It should be fairly close. And so if you can go back and say, okay, I remember on March 1st, I'm looking at my pictures. This is what I do, folks. I go back and look at my pictures, and I just kind of get me like a mental reminder of how last May went, how last March went, how last February went. As I'm approaching the fishing for this next month, I'm like, okay, how was last March? You know, was it good? What was I catching on? Was it, when you know, was it a crankbait bite? Because that's usually how I catch them in March and April. Crankbaits, spinnerbaits, flukes, topwater. There's so many ways I can catch them, but I don't remember exactly from day to day, because there's some days that I really do well with a crankbait, and some days I'll do really well with a fluke. And then it may be a spinnerbait bite 3 days later or the following week. So it's hard to tell, but at least it gives you a good idea of the multiple things that I've done well off this time last year, and it gives you a starting point. Now I know, let's grab some spinnerbaits, some flukes, some crankbaits. We'll grab some wiggle warts and the other couple things and some topwaters, and let's go from there. And then that gives you a great starting point. Water temperature. Really pay attention to water temperature. Get you a good thermometer that you can at least check it. Even if you're a kayaker, you can get a good thermometer, check the water temp. It's going to go a long ways. Stick around. I've got lots more to talk about right after this, right here on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Boatworks, performance specialists. More with Tommy Bench after this. You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
It's a beautiful week out here in the Ozarks. Feels like it's springtime. It's just Mother Nature has a way to really get you excited and let down all in the same week around here. It's like, oh man, it's like springtime finally is here, but you know, it's like, psych, not really. It's still February, folks. We're going to have another cold snap, and it's going to be, you better leave your water running because it's going to get down cold tonight. You know, that's kind of the kind of crap we got to deal with around here. But anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful week and a beautiful day. And Kayla and I and Corbell, we're all going to head out. And like I said in the last couple segments here, we're a little, we got some adventure headed our way, I think. There's a guy that, if you heard the first couple segments, tell me this, you heard me tell the story about, there's a boat. There's a missing guy out there. And I don't know for a fact that he's missing for sure, but it kind of appears that way. It kind of appears that he didn't make it back, and we'll find out. You know, I physically seen him. He's by himself. He's running up river, and he obviously never made it back. And if he did, he parked in the exact same spot, the exact same way, first thing this morning, before anyone else got there. So, I don't know. You know, we'll find out. We're going to head out there, and now I've got my goals set that I'm going to try to find this gentleman, because, like I said, I know who it is, and I wouldn't necessarily say he's a great friend or anything, but I definitely know him, and I'm going to help him. I mean, if he's in trouble, I'm definitely going to go help him. And so I'm going to keep that in mind before I load the boat. If there's something I need, I'm probably going to grab a chainsaw and maybe a chain or a strap or who knows, you know, anything that I think might come about if he did get into some trouble, if he did wreck his boat, sink his boat, maybe he's stranded out there on a gravel bar. I don't know. You know, he could have wrecked trying to go around a corner, didn't have very good daylight to see, and maybe that's what happened. I don't know. I'll just have to wait until we get out there and see if he's okay or not. That's the situation going on today. We're gonna have a great day nonetheless. I hope he's okay, and looking forward to hanging out with my buddy Jared and catching some fish. Like I said, our whole goal today is we're going to try to load the boat with some crappie. So stay tuned for some pictures coming, folks. I hope we can absolutely load the live wells full of crappie. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull it off. I know where they're at. I know where a couple different spots are where we can catch them. I'm hoping that we're able to do it and catch a bunch of them. We'll just have to see. I think it's going to be fun. I want to just get back to the old school ways. I get out there, you know, too much every day. Everyone, you know, if you know me, you know I fish every single day. Well, sometimes I get tired of throwing crankbaits and jigs and spinnerbaits and all these crazy big lure tactics and artificials and blah, 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 right? Have you ever just wanted to get back to the way you did things whenever you was like 15? 20, you know, you was a kid. Let's get back to when things were simple and I just had a little spinning rod and I could go out there with the Mr. Twister, throw it around and catch whatever bit that Mr. Twister. Goggle eye, sunfish, little smallmouth, whatever it was. That's kind of where I'm at today. I just want to go out there and have fun and spend some time with my wife and my baby and really enjoy the day. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I might even really church it up and go out there and get some live minnows and just throw some minnows on a couple of split shots and just have a ball. Just have a ball. Whatever bites it, you know. And I'll catch some smallmouth. Maybe I'll catch some suckers. Maybe I'll catch a bunch of crappie, some goggle eye, white bass. Who knows? It's going to be great. That's the goal. That's the goal. We'll post lots of pictures. We're going to make a little campfire on the gravel bar. And just going to be a good old time. And run the boat and let Corbell play in the water. I mean, it is like summertime outside right now. I walked outside this morning and I didn't even have a shirt on. And it was, you know, normally it's chilly. And I'm like, oh gosh, I got to hurry up and because usually I leave my cooler in my boat and I've got a Monster out there. I drink a Monster, it seems like, every morning. I got a bad habit of doing that. And I ran out there this morning, or walked. I didn't run. I walked out there and I thought, my goodness, it feels like the middle of the day. It feels like a spring, a beautiful spring day. And here it is, 7 o'clock in the morning. And it felt like it was already the peak of the day as far as the temperature goes. It was in 60 degrees. And I thought, my goodness, this is great. And, you know, as much as I talk about how amazing the wintertime fishing is, I don't love winter. I hate it. I hate how cold it is and my hands crack and you got hot hands because it's freezing outside. The only thing great about winter is, well, there's a few things. I wouldn't say it's the only thing. You know, of course, everyone loves a little bit of snow. And you got Christmas and great things going on in that time of year, I guess. But then you got great fishing. The smallmouth fishing is just phenomenal in the wintertime. I love that, but I just don't like being cold. But then again, I don't like being hot either, so I'm not a summer guy. Don't take me wrong and think that I'm saying I love summer, because I hate summer too. I hate any extreme. From extreme cold to extreme hot, you guys can have it. You can have that summer, the hot summer, and the blazing hot summer, and the freezing cold winter. You can have it. I'll take a spring or fall atmosphere any time of the year. I love the fall. Springtime's great too. I love it probably because it's just been waiting. It's like the anticipation of it's finally warming up. You know, you hear the peeps and you know you got mushrooms about ready to pop. the fish are about to spawn. Crappie are spawning. You can go out there and feel like you can get some vitamin D via the sunlight. And it's just great. It's great to get out there. It just makes you feel alive again. And so I love the springtime. I just hate the allergies. That's one thing I don't like about springtime is the allergies that come along with the springtime. We'll get there. You know, as the seasons change and as the water warms up and cools off, the fish change. And that's what I'm here to try to explain what I'm going to do, what you're looking for. And in this case right now, we're looking at right now current temps, low 50s, 53, 54 degree water temps on the Gasconade River. And it should be pretty close across the board if you're in the Midwest here and the Merrimack, Niangua, a lot of them are probably going to be fairly close. They may be a little bit lower because they're spring fed a little bit more. All in all, lower 50s. When do smallmouth spawn? That's a big question that everyone always asks me. When do smallmouth spawn? They've read and filled and streamed for years that it's 65 to 70 degrees. And folks, I'm here to tell you that is wrong. That is not the truth. They will actually spawn right at 60, 61 degrees. No problem. They do it every year on the Gasconade without skipping a beat. And do they spawn at 65? Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, they do. But they spawn before that. They'll start spawning 60, 61 degrees all the way up through 70 degrees. So that 60 to 70 degree range is kind of your window of opportunity if you want to be able to catch some pre-spawners, spawners, or post-spawners, depending on what your beliefs are. If you think it's wrong to catch fish off beds, I don't necessarily think it's wrong. I'm not a big fan of just going and plucking them off the beds by any means. If I seen a 5-pounder on a bed and you think I wouldn't catch it, you're wrong, because I will. I'm going to put it right back. I'm not going to try to mess with it too much. But yeah, heck yeah, I'm going to try to catch that fish if I can. I mean, that's a fish of a lifetime anywhere. But we'll talk more about the pre-spawn and the post-spawn and what and how to fish for both those certain situations right after this. We'll be right back on Outdoor America.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. Here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
So, like I said, you got three different situations. You got some pre-spawners, some post-spawners. Now this, keep in mind, we're talking about 60 plus degrees. Right now we're looking at low to mid 50s. The water is going, it's not going to take long. Typically, by the end of March, in April, April is probably the prime month, for sure, the prime month of spawners. So all through April, you should be able to see some spawning fish. This is when you're going to catch one of the biggest fish of your life. They're going to weigh the heaviest they've ever weighed right before they spawn. They're going to be plump full of eggs and hefty as a hippo. I'm telling you, this is going to be great. So if you're looking for that biggest weight you've ever measured on a smallmouth, here's your chance. You know, you catch that 20 incher and now you're looking at a possible 5-plus pounder. You know, that's what you're looking at. Whereas summertime, more than likely, you're looking at 4 to 5 pound range, depending on how healthy it is. And that's another thing. Let's talk about that a little bit. So years ago, I always wondered, everyone said, what does an 18-inch fish weigh? Well, there's a pretty broad measurement there. You know, so you got, I took every 18-incher I could catch, and this is going to sound a little conceited, I guess, but you know, I've had some clients ask me about the Missouri Department of Conservation's Master Angler Award, and that's what it is. It's an 18-inch fish, and I've joked around. I've heard people, a client said it. I didn't make it up. A client made it up, and the client said, I'd say if you had one of the Master Angler Awards for an 18-inch fish, you'd have enough to wallpaper your whole house. And I just chuckled, but you know what? He's right. He's exactly right. I'd say I probably caught, my goodness, I couldn't imagine how many 18-inchers I've caught. I'd say, I'd say 500. I really would. I'd say hundreds. I don't know exactly how many, but I'm catching them every trip. You know, once that's why I said hundreds. Because I'm out there hundreds of times a year, and I'm catching one pretty much every time out. So maybe even a few thousand 18-inchers, to be honest with you, over my life. But nonetheless, here's the study that I did. I took all the 18-inchers that I could catch from, this is back around 2008 and 2009, 2010-ish, so around that 3 or 4 year span between 2007 and 2011. We'll say 7 to 11. I took every 18-inch fish and I weighed it, and I tried to write it down. And then I take another 18-inch fish and I weighed it and I wrote it down, and so on and so forth. I wrote every 18-incher that I caught. I documented its weight, and I tried to get an average, you know, a mean, so to speak. I tried to get, what does an average 18-inch fish weigh? And the best of my conclusion, you're looking at around 2 3/4. 2.5 to 2 3/4 is what an average gasconade smallmouth, 18-inch smallmouth weighs. Some of them are well over 3 pounds, but I've caught some that were like barely even 2 pounds. You know, they were just really, really tiny. On average, from what I found, 2 1/4 was about the smallest healthy 18-incher, and the biggest one I ever caught was right at 4 pounds. I mean, an absolute behemoth. It was just one of them really, really large, fat, thick fish that you don't see very often. You know, almost once or twice in a lifetime you see a fish that size. I've caught 2 19-inch fish that I can think of right now that thoroughly impressed me. And when I say thoroughly impressed me, I'm talking, I thought I had a wall hanger, you know, which what most people would consider a quote wall hanger. This fish, both of these two fish, was so big that I thought, I don't care if it is only 19 inches. This is one of the biggest fish I've ever caught in my entire life. I remember the one in particular weighed 4 pounds and 9 ounces. 4 pounds and 9 ounces. That's over 4.5 pounds for a 19-inch fish. Absolutely massive. That fish was one of the biggest ones I ever caught in my life for its size, girth, length, weight, everything, just a combination of all of those put together. Last spring, I caught one, actually, as soon as my buddy Jared left. I had just seen him. Kayla and I had just seen him. He drove off, and he no more than got out of the parking lot when I hooked this fish. I remember I was trying to send him the picture as fast as I could, and it just wouldn't send because of the crappy service I had. But this fish was right there with that other one, 19-something, but I'm talking about an absolute beast, a beast of a smallmouth, one of the biggest, girthiest, fattest fish I've ever caught in my life. It was so cool to see, and I just kept praying and hoping that fish lived, made it to make it to that 21, 22 inch mark, because I knew, you know, if it made it to 21, 22 and it kept that same body shape, that fish was going to be a potential state record knocking on the door of it. You know, I mean, we're looking at 7 pounds, 2 ounces is a state record for our Missouri State smallmouth out of Stockton Lake. And that's kind of the holy grail. You know, that's what we're all looking at. And like I've said in previous shows, I don't think it's going to happen on the gasconade. I truly don't. I hope it does. I think it would be the coolest thing ever if it did. And I hope that I'm part of it. In any way, I hope if somebody catches this fish, I hope they at least call me to come document it. I would just love to see it in person and get to witness the official weighing of it and everything. I think it'd be one of the coolest things ever. But, you know, I've often talked about, you know, having records on lakes as opposed to rivers. You know, why couldn't we separate the smallmouth, not necessarily on bodies of water. I'm not saying the Gasconade has its own record, the Merrimack has its own record. No, but let's designate a river, a stream, state record. This is the biggest smallmouth ever caught on a Missouri stream, whether it's the Merrimack, the Hoosaw, the Big Piney, the Gasconade, the Niangua, whatever the case might be. How cool would that be? I think that'd be really neat. You know, the smallmouth fishing in this state is undeniably popular. There are so many people that just are ate up with catching these smallmouth, and they just think it's phenomenal. I mean, including myself, I've been doing it for a long time, but you know, I started a group called Ozark Smallmouth Anglers, and feel free to go join the group. It's an open group. As far when I say open, you can go on there, post your catch, talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can go on there and say, hey guys, I'm kind of new, or I'm not new, or or I'm wanting to learn more about topwater fishing, or what are you guys' favorite Texas rigs, or your favorite plastics to use on Texas rigs, or Carolina rigs, or what's the Nico rig about? I mean, anything, whatever you want to know about. There's lots of knowledgeable anglers on there that are very excited to give you their opinion and their advice on what to use and how to use it and how to be more successful catching bigger fish. Most people are fairly open about talking about these things. Some are not. Some are secretive, and I understand why. I'm kind of on the fence. Sometimes I'm secretive and sometimes I'm not. And the only reason why I'm secretive sometimes is because I'm trying to run a business. And I don't care that people know how I catch them. But then again, that's what separates me. You know, the knowledge that I have and the experience and the knowledge, of course, again, is what makes me a little bit different to separate myself from some others. And there's a lot. There's a lot just as knowledgeable and as good or better than I am. I mean, my buddy Jared's one of them. You know, Jeff Schultz. Robbie Thompson, John Sapper. There's lots of hammers out there. Dickie Bauer. You keep going on and on. There's lots of hammers out there that are as good or better than I am all day long. But I got to take another real quick break, folks. We're going to wrap it up with our last segment coming up in just a few minutes, folks. On Outdoor America, I'm Tommy Bench. We'll be right back.
This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. More with Tommy Bench after this. This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Summit Finance Group. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
Spring right around the corner. If you was making excuses all winter long to get in the outdoors, there's no excuses now because the sun is shining, birds are chirping, and the water's waiting. You need to get out there, and I'm not saying go swimming just yet because it's still in the 50s. It's a little bit chilly, but you know, it's a good time to think about it. At least get out there, get you some vitamin D via the sun, and get you some cold beverage and float down the river. It's a good time to go see some meagles and some wildlife, do a little fishing. Take your kids out there. You know, that's one thing. I'm not saying you owe it to them, but I think that it's something fun to do. And if you don't know how to do it, don't even know where to start, get a hold of me. I'd love to help you out. I'll love to point you in the right direction. There's lots of outfitters out there that can at least rig you up, get you a canoe, some paddles, some life jackets, some trash bags, everything you need for your trip to get out there and enjoy a beautiful scenic float on the beautiful Gasconade or Big Piney, Merrimack, wherever you want to go. I'm partial to the Big Piney and the Gasconade, and I know lots of outfitters. I can get a hold of good old friend Angie Hale out there at Devil's Elbow or Bowling Spring. Get a hold of Larry out at Bowling Spring. He's a good friend of mine. Or down at Gasconade Hills Campground. Go check them out. It's right down the road. Grew up, born and raised there. Good folks. That would be my number one choice right there. That's my stomping ground. So if you want to go on a float trip around where I catch all these giant fish, go get a hold of Gasconade Hills and tell them Tommy sent you and you want to go on a float trip where he catches his dinosaurs. That'd be fun. If nothing else, you want to go on a trip with me, just get a hold of me. Get a hold of me at 417-718-7716. Give me a call. Text me anytime. Get a hold of our guide page, Gasconade River Guide, and Kayla would love to answer your questions and maybe get you booked for a trip. You can get going out there this spring or summer, fall, whenever you want to go. We'll make it happen, and we'll put you on some big fish, and we'll have a good time doing it in the process. Like I said, just to do a little recap of the show here, we got a missing fella out there, and we're going to go try to help him out today. I don't know for sure that he's missing, but it appears that way. The truck's still sitting at the ramp even after it's been there all night. I'd have thought he'd have come back. We'll find out. Well, hopefully he's okay and nothing bad happened, but I'm going to try to take all the precautionary things just in case, like I said, a chain, straps, chainsaw, just in case we need to help this fella out. But anyway, it's been a great week in the Ozarks, and I look forward to finally having some spring. Hopefully spring is right around the corner because it appears that way. Beautiful week this week, and the weather seems to be in that springtime mode, you know. And so get out there, and you know, you don't have to be a fisherman. There's another thing that's coming right around the corner that we haven't talked much about. Turkey season. Turkey season's just you know, here in mid-April, mid to end of April. You got spring turkey season and a brand new regulation this year. If you're a big turkey hunter and you hadn't heard this, you can hunt till dark, from daylight to dark on private property this year. Keyword, private property. You can't, you're not going to go on public ground and this is going to be legal. You have to be on private property. But as long as you're on private property, you can hunt from daylight to dark. That's a brand new right here in Missouri. And I'm actually looking forward to it. I was kind of torn on how I felt about it. But how many times have you been out there and you thought, man, dadgummit, if I just had 30 more minutes, I could get this bird. Or if I could hunt 3 or 4 o'clock, you know, right before dark, I could hunt this bird. I could kill this bird. But that's something they've done. They've done in many, many, many other states for years. You know, we're just one of the few states to come along and do this. But, you know, I try not to question our conservation department too often. They've got a very, very, very impressive program going, and I'm very proud of our department. There's a few things I would like to change, including the smallmouth regulations. I'm going to work tirelessly until I can make this happen. You mark my words, I will eventually see a change. I hope to eventually see a change in the smallmouth. I've been seeing way too many people eating these fish, and one particular guide service on the Big Piney in particular, you know, the Wades, they've been notorious about very proud and notorious for clean and having their fish fries, and that's their legal right. But it's just, I think it's just a thing of the old. And now that, you know, we're not in the 70s anymore, things have changed. And it's just, I just hate to see all these fish getting eaten and then passing the traditions along to their children and grandchildren and son-in-laws and whatnot. You know, it's just really, really saddens me. But if we can get these winter holes secured to keep these fish safe, I'm going to say December 1st. Just December 1st. If we can end the season December 1st, open it back up the end of May, I think that gives these fish plenty of time to be safe, secure in their wintering holes, and then do their spawn, safe and secure doing their spawn, and then after the spawn's over, then you can open it back up. I see nothing wrong. I think that would be the perfect scenario, and most of the people that are really good at catching these fish aren't keeping them anyway. It's usually the ones that are live bait fishermen or they just they're very ignorant to the growth rates and the educational side of how long it takes a smallmouth to grow. And that's what I'm here trying to educate people as far as, you know, how long it takes them to grow. It's a very important, it's very dear to my heart, and I just want you to understand that it's, you know, it's a legal right that everyone has to obtain these. But, you know, in the conservation's eyes, the reason why they don't want to, they will not change, or they have not changed the regulations, is because they feel that nobody does it. They don't feel like people are keeping these fish. They feel like it's something of the past. Nobody's doing this anymore. But that's not the case. They just don't. They're unaware of it. And I think once they become aware of how much is actually going on, then it may open their eyes and may possibly get that change pushed along. And I love to see it. So if you'd like to see a change in regulations, or if there's something you think about that, you may have a different opinion. Again, hey, I'm open to suggestions. Feel free to send them my way and tell me what you think about it. I'm curious to see if you think that we should have an early season close on smallmouth. We'll say December 1st, you know, from the end of May, Memorial Day, all the way is when it opens, all the way around December 1st. December 1, close the season, these fish safe and secure, protect our beloved smallmouth. That's what I would love to see. And you know what, folks? I love, like I said, we got turkey season right around the corner. Also, morels. Don't forget about the arrowhead hunting. I talk about it so often. It is such a fun thing to do. Get out there with your kids, with your wife, with your brother, with your sister, whoever you want. It's a lot of fun. And if you find one or two, it could be some of the most innocent fun you could ever have. So go check it out. Go try to do some. Go find some mushrooms this spring. Go kill you a turkey. A lot of great things coming up this spring here real shortly in the Ozarks. So get out there. Get outside. Most importantly, just get outside. Get your kids outside. Don't be stuck in the house. Enjoy the outdoors. Hope to see you guys out there on the water, in the woods. Till next week, this is Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
You've been listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Bass Tank, whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it, and by Summit Finance Group. Join us each Saturday morning at 5 a.m. for Outdoor America with Tommy Bench on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Catch up on Outdoor America programs. Listen on demand at 610sports.com weekend programming channel. For Tommy Bench, this is Mark Miller. Thanks for listening to Outdoor America and have a great weekend.